Everybody know who's an addict? Right. You know why we're here? You know what this is, right?
In a word.
All right. Don't get loaded. Call your sponsor. All right. So, real quick background. COVID impacted the 2020 car. Visas were people. It was just, as you remember, April last year, things were shutting down. It was March is when like the entire world shut down, and California hotels were you know, shutting down, and so they had to make the decision to go virtual, and that had never been done before. Now the conference participants had been meeting via Zoom for quite a few years. So the conference, the RDs, the ADs, World Board member, and NA World Services had been meeting every other month. We had been meeting in via Zoom. So imagine every other month a meeting with about 230 participants consistently. So we were pretty much already, we had it loaded on our whatever computer we were using. We knew how to unmute our microphone. We knew how to do all this. And so when we transitioned to doing the car virtually, there was somewhat of an acceptance and an adaptation for the participants to participate in that platform. However, it was also a concern, if you remember back then, that Alabama was able to get out and do all the workshops and get the votes back before April. But not every region was able to do that. East Coast regions were in lockdown. They had assemblies that were scheduled that they didn't get to get happen. Parts of the world were still isolated. So there was a consensus through polls that not enough of the participants were ready to vote on all those motions that were in the car. And so there were some motions that were voted on and then some that were not. Okay. So fast forward to where we are today. About 6 months ago, the deadline was coming down to do the contract for the hotel. A lot of countries were still in lockdown, and they had to make a decision of go. They reached an apex of a go, no go decision. And because everything, visas were still in question, they decided to what they call an interim conference. Okay, so, and with that interim conference, they had to make a decision on which car motions would come forward, and what you're going to be kicking kicking the can down the road to next year. So, how this all plays out. Show of hands of people who are familiar with the FIPT, Fellowship Intellectual Property Trust. Okay, so the Fellowship Intellectual Property Trust is a legal document, and it manages our intellectual property. And the tools of in the document, the instrument of the document, and the roles of the document, there are specific legal requirements in that document that must be accomplished per the schedule. Okay, so in the FIPT, the conference must meet. Right, there must be a budget. Reports of the trustors must be presented. Right, because this all deals with the management of our trust. And so because of that, certain motions must be done during the conference. Okay. However, there's specific language in there of when a conference is concluded and then when it's suspended. All right. and that triggers rotation of elected positions, board members, HRP, co-facilitators. Those all hinge on the conclusion of a conference, right? And so what they decided to do is in April, we're going to open the conference. So it's going to become in session. Now think of it. Yes, go ahead. Yes. And think of it that we're going to spend 2 weekends. We're going over the five motions that I'll be presenting and other business. But we're not going to conclude the conference. We're going to suspend the conference. So imagine a year-long smoke break. So at your area meeting, you have your reports. We all have a break, and we come back for old business and new business. So our break is going to be a year long. And then in April next year, we're going to resume the conference, complete business. There'll be more motions then. And then at the conclusion of the 23 conference, new board members will be elected, new COFACs will be elected, new HRP will be elected, and we'll be going forward from there. Now, there were motions. Who remembers the Southern Florida request to inspect the World Service Office drama? Okay. So in the instrument of the FIPT is a section that deals with inspecting the trust, which had never been initiated and never been requested. Okay. And so Florida exercised the instrument to inspect the trust as it's outlined in the FIPT. But because of that, it became apparent to a majority of the conference participants that something of that magnitude should not be the decision of just one region. It should be the decision of the fellowship. And so Florida was allowed to initiate their inspection. It was like 3 or 4 days long. A report is available online of the results of the inspection, and it closed, right? But at the conference, they made a motion to suspend that rule in the FIPT while a work group went and rewrote the rule that made it more for a fellowship decision rather than a region decision. And so they did that. The work group did that work. They presented three motions in the 2020 CAR. While that work was going on, they made a motion, and the conference overwhelmingly approved to suspend that, right, until that motion was presented. Well, COVID happened, and they didn't believe that enough regions had been able to make an informed decision, and so they pulled those motions from the 2020 CARs, the motions that we were voting on, and it's not in this CAR, but it will be in 23 CAR. So that's why when I present a few of these motions, or one of these motions, the motion is dealing with extending that moratorium one more year.
Okay. Is that basically just like an audit?
It is an audit, but we pay a professional company to audit NA World Services finances. Yes.
So the reason for the year break is primarily because of COVID. Because
they're
trying to get more involved.
Right. Right, starting it in April and ending it next year, is because when we met as conference participants and we did polls, it was overwhelming. It was consensus, strong support consensus, that conference participants believe there is intangible value when we meet face to face that we don't get on the screen. We can do business on the screen. Areas have been doing it virtually. Regions have been doing it virtually, right? You can get business done. You can make decisions. But what you don't get is the interpersonal communication of one-on-one relationships that are created and developed and nurtured when we all meet. And it's those experiences that evolve into projects, into people being selected to participate on projects that ultimately enhances our fellowship, such as the Spiritual Principle of the Day book. That evolved and developed and came about from the beginning where people met at the conference, got to know each other, worked well with each other, and when people were selected, it's like, this person's going to be good for this project. And another example of meeting face-to-face, the intangibles, is when I was there, we had a breakout sessions, right? Nothing to do with business, but we have breakout sessions. And we talk about discussion topics. One of the discussion topics, this is pre-COVID, was virtual meetings. Our virtual meetings groups, right? So we had a whole 2-hour breakout session, and at my table was the RD from Chicagoland region, right? So we debated, we talked, right? And then 6 months later, she calls me and says, my home group wants to have a hybrid speaker jam. Will you help me? So think about that. World Service Conference, a breakout session, a relationship is developed that has a direct impact on a group of Narcotics Anonymous. A single home group in Chicago. And so those are intangibles. You can't measure that. You can't quantify that, right? But there's significant value in that. And there are some conference participants that believe it's a waste of money. It's too much money. We've been doing this virtually, and we should never meet again face to face. That's a valid position. And it is true. It's tangibly correct. Travel is expensive. Hotel is expensive. The setting up the hardware, the infrastructure, the whole office basically moved from Chatsworth to the hotel, and they had this whole section where you got computer banks and you know the whole office staff are all in this one section of the conference, and they're all doing their shit, right? And that costs money. About $500,000 it costs to put on a World Service Conference. And that's a tangible amount. And it's justifiably argued that it's not worth spending on, since we have other paradigms, other mechanisms that provide the same results. If the fellowship choose to measure the results of the service conference solely based upon the voting of motions, that is a valid position to take. But it's more than that. And most of the conference participants who attend it value the intangibles as much as they value the results of the vote. And so that's why we have that break. Right? That's why we want to still meet. We still want that experience, and we still want to move forward with that. So, with all that, I said I was going to be done in 10 minutes. I can't. Why'd you guys let me ramble? Fucking. Anyway. So, everybody can kind of see the screen? Okay. So, I'll be going over three motions that require business of the FIPT. Okay. Motion 4 is Spiritual Principle of the Day. Everyone has the ability to go and download it, review it, because it's going to be fellowship approved literature. Okay? I'm going to be very sensitive to the audience here. That per the book grouplet, a group of Narcotics Anonymous reads fellowship approved literature. Spiritual Principle of the Day book will be, hopefully, when approved, allowed to be read in our groups. Okay. And I'll leave the elephant in the room alone of what that means also. Okay. So, Spiritual Principle of the Day is out there. We can download it, we can review it, and when we... And one of the reasons that there was some objections from some of the delegates, that why did the World Board include Spiritual Principle of the Day motion and not any other regional motions that were still legacy there from 2020? Valid point, valid question. Okay. The reasons the board presented why they chose to submit the Spiritual Principle of the Day for approval and not regional motions is that the money has been spent to develop this product. The work is completed. And it is a responsibility to present this to the fellowship as a completed product, as a completed project for approval. It would be irresponsible not to do that when the job is done. Some object to that. A minority of the delegates object to that decision, primarily from regions that did not have their motions submitted as well. That's an opinion of mine, but that's what I have observed. The objections usually are from people who felt connected to other regional motions or their motions that were not included. Now, it's interesting to point out, too, that regional motions were not included, but also World Board motions were not included. So World Board motions, such as the FIPT and the changes to the operational rules, were not included. And they did just as much work on those motions as regions did on their motions. So it was equally distributed where some were and some weren't. So Spiritual Principle of the Day is motion 4. Motions 1 through 3 are the motions related to the FIPT, and then motion 5 is a budget motion, and that is again required by the FIPT that budget motions are presented, and so we'll go from there. All right. This is just going over this is the poll results. Conference voted to postpone World Service Conference until 23, having a short business meeting in 22. As well as decision about the Spiritual Principle Day book. So you can see the poll results. 92% said yes. 6% said no, and 3 were present not voting. And our region voted yes on that, by the way. Were there any objections here to the delegate voting yes to that? Okay. Me and John from Mobile is your alternate delegate. We communicate during the conference about if we have mutual consensus on how we're going to vote on these poll issues. Right? All right. So this is being called an interim virtual WSC 2022, ICC 2022. Motion 1. Acting as a trustor, the delegates present at the virtual WC 2022 are. There we go. Are continuing the suspension of Article 5, Section 3 of the FIPT operational rules, while making a decision about the future. The suspension will expire. Key point. Expire at the close of 23. Because as the motion that is been presented in 2022, it expires at the end of this year. So this motion is required to just kick the can down to 23. The intent is to extend the existing FIPT moratorium on the FIPT inspection clause in the operational use year for one year. There's information galore on the FIPT. If your area or region wants more in-depth discussion, background, I was a part of this working group, so unfortunately I have extensive knowledge of a document that I really didn't really want to know a lot about, but I do. So so this again reinforces the legal document, the decision fellowships made about it is intellectual property, our literature and our trademarks, and how we protect those. Okay. Motion two, to extend the terms of the WC elected positions for two human resource panel members and one co-facilitator who will expire in 2022 to 2023. So we're just extending two HRP members, one co-facilitator, one more year. And then motion three, to extend the term of three WC elected positions of the World Board member currently set to expire in 22 to 23. Is there any comments or questions on that? Pretty straightforward. All right, the big one. Motion four, to approve the book and addendum B, a spiritual principle a day as fellowship approved literature. Now, if you've been involved on Facebook and some of the discussions, this is showing that our process works, because when we presented it to the fellowship, members of the fellowship found mistakes, and we were able to respond to those quickly. One of the pages, there's like one spiritual principle a day, was duplicated. It was in December, and then it was also in April, I think. That's why if you go and download the material today, it'll have those corrections. It'll say, you know, as corrected from what was discovered. So the intent is to have additional piece of fellowship literature material available for use for NA members, groups, and service committees. Anybody read it yet?
Yes.
Good book. You get with me after coffee.
I don't understand why there would be a problem.
Get with me after coffee.
Okay.
Those who know, no.
And they will always find a way.
All right. You can download. Now you can order a copy version. I saw those when I was in the Nassau area convention a couple weekends ago. Their service office had the physical book, so that's available for purchase. The $10, it covers the production cost, and I don't think mailing, but it covers the World Service Office is not making money off a $10 book for approval draft. There were some concerns about that. Background. Shows that when regions tend to be motions from regions, or let me. The creation of new literature come from motions from regions. I don't know, and correct me if anybody can hear and correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know of any new literature being recommended solely from the World Board members, or even the office. If you go back and you look in our history of car motions, new literature has always been as a result of motions from regents. Our fellowship asks for these projects. Our fellowship asks for these pieces of literature. Okay. We have limited resources. We can only do so much in a given conference or in a given project track. So that's why if you look at this, this is where we put out surveys and we ask the fellowship, based on all the new projects, a new book about sponsorship, next step writing, a next generation of step working guide, a daily meditation book based upon the Living Clean book, service and recovery, revise the current step working guide, you know, to upgrade that. All these, if you look all these, right, you can track it back to where these were regional motions asking for these. And so we do a survey, and that's why you'll see and as a result of that, we have the Spiritual Principle Day book. And it's completed. It's done. All right. This is, yes?
So the Spiritual Principle of the Day book, it's the next study meditation.
Right. And this is a picture showing that this was fellowship developed literature. There's a great workshop. I'm surprised you all aren't over there. It's a really great workshop. Chris does a really good job. Love his workshop. One of my favorite workshops ever. Where, you know, the basic text was created as a group of members. Right? And so this is just showing that the Spiritual Principle of Day was developed through input from the Worldwide Fellowship. All right. It contains 89 spiritual principles. That's a good trivia question. All right. There were standards. Be realistic, relatable, inclusive. Hit different notes and have different functions. Tug at our hearts. Expand understanding. And help us laugh at ourselves. All right. So, let me think. So the other motion is the budget. Now, if you go to, you can see where I'm on, for our members, NA World Service, 2022 conference material. There are three videos. I'm not going to bore you with them there here, but you'll see motion five is the CAT motion, conference agenda track, and that includes the budget. One note that has been before COVID, I think individual contributions to World Service was like 7% of the income. About 7% of the revenue into World Service came from individual donations. So that put 93% to do the work each year that we asked that office to do for us came from literature sales. And literature sales is a contentious issue in our fellowship, right? And it has always been a risk that has been well documented and we are aware of, that we cannot sustain that for an indefinite period of time. That a business model that depends on revenue from literature sales will plateau and start to bottom out. And that has always been known. But we are self-supporting through our own contributions. So we depend on the seventh tradition of what members are willing to contribute in order to pay the bills that the expenses that we have. One approach that they have tried to communicate is that it is possible to where a significant percentage of individual donations can begin to subsidize what they depended on literature sales. And the goal, I think it's 50%. And from COVID, as a result of COVID and raising the awareness, we have gone from 7% individual contributions to 25%. So 25% is of World Service budget revenue to do the work that we ask them to do is coming from direct contributions of members. And I'm one of those, right? I have 37 years clean, and I set up where I donate $37 a month. And I don't even see it. I don't even think about it. That's a whole lot less than I pay for coffee a month, right? So I don't even notice it, and I don't even see it. If I stay clean, I'll change it to 38. And so we see a lot of people that are doing that. Groups, my home group, Air Group of Madison County area, donates $20 a month to World Service. And it is the hope that as we become less dependent upon literature sales, the vision that a certain elephant in the room, the vision of certain members that want to see low, affordable literature can become a reality, right? And then another point that I kind of want to make is, there is World Service Office has an objective and a purpose for our fellowship. But it doesn't come without controversy and conflict and dispute. That we as a fellowship are divided on the vision of what World Service should look like and what it should be and how it should be implemented. And certain elements of that conflict have engaged in predatory behavior this is not an opinion, this is actually, you can easily go find individuals that have documented their vision or their mission is to bankrupt World Service. That is their objective. Any means, any ways possible. They believe it is not. They, in their heart, they believe what they're doing is right and justified. Right? How I approach this is that when you look at the growth and the track growth of our fellowship, NA is more than just Air Group at the VFW in Huntsville on Sunday night at 7 p.m. It is so much more than that. It's the fellowship that started in a park in Tehran, Iran. Nepal, Germany, making headway into China, Japan. This is all possible because these countries and governments had a single source to communicate with that spoke on behalf of Narcotics Anonymous. Right. And so if you look back and you try to look at, if we did not have that structure, if we did not have that organization that can communicate with different countries and different languages and different cultures and religions, would our message be carried in those countries today? Right. And if it would be carried, would it be different? And if it would have been different, how would we protect what the words that belong to us? Right? So what is that worth? What is it worth to the fellowship to have a worldwide international representation of our message? So the best way to try and find out what that's worth is you look at other nonprofit organizations that are worldwide organizations, and you look at their corporate structure, executive directors, assistant executive directors, and you look at their pay scale. How much is Red Cross? How much does a CEO of Red Cross make? Right? Doctors Without Borders. How much does the CEO of Doctors Without Borders make? Right? I'm not going to tell you. You can do your own research. Wow, that's a really bad thing to say these days. It is available for people to go and search what their pay scales are. My best guess is that $1 million a year is not out of the realm of reality for a chief executive officer of an international worldwide fellowship. So keep that in mind, that when you're on Facebook and you're reading certain discussions about people who are challenging the pay that members of our World Service Board executive directors are receiving. And to some people, it is a phenomenal amount of money that is just absolutely absurd and ridiculous that someone would make that much money on the backs of the suffering addict, right? But then when you compare that pay to an equal position of a worldwide organization, they don't even come close. Not even 25%. So, although it looks as though they're making this extravagant amount of money, they're not making what they're worth if they were to do the same job for another organization. And so what that tells me is that they are doing that job because they love that job. They love what they are doing, right? Another point, and then I'll get off this soapbox. There are staff members that I know that have worked for the World Service Office for over 20, 25 years, okay? And certain agents of our fellowship, again, who have this mission, we're able to find everyone's pay and put it out to the entire fellowship, right? Look at what they make. Well, what is not put into context is that no one would work willingly, work for a company that does not offer a cost of living increase each year. 2%, 3%. And so what they don't take into context is they're looking at that salary as it is at that point when it was hacked and put out to the fellowship, right? And they're looking at that going, look, that's $90,000 that person's making. They don't take into fact that 20 years ago they started at 40. And they've just stayed. And as they stay, it is appropriate to provide merit increases each year to compensate for a cost of living increase. So 2%, 2%, 2%, it adds up over time. And so I just ask that, you know, as members attack World Service Office, they attack the salary that we pay these people. If it is the conscience of the region to change that, I only have a few more. I'm a delegate. John is the alternate delegate. It is our job to carry your conscience to the fellowship if that is an issue. But it needs to be done in a way that we present it to the fellowship, and the fellowship as a whole will accept and agree to that direction. So when people object to this paradigm that we've created, World Service Office, my challenge is come up with a different paradigm. Come up with another approach where it doesn't cost us any money. And that's an extremely difficult challenge to do. But if there is a paradigm, if there is a model that would work, it would be my responsibility and John's responsibility to present that to the rest of the fellowship to initiate that change. That's how we bring change, right? We do not bring change to the fellowship by destroying something without having an alternative to take its place. And it's hurtful to me to see a fellowship that I love being deprived of oxygen. It's like a father in the hospital on their deathbed on oxygen, and people are coming in and turning down the oxygen. And that hurts. I'm a widower. So it triggers a lot of emotions in me that has nothing to do with Narcotics Anonymous, but everything to do with my own grief, my own PTSD. So if you see, it's very difficult for me sometimes to be very objective, neutral, open-minded to different perspectives when it comes to the attacks on our fellowship. The last one I'll share is who has not heard about the current lawsuit? Okay, so there is a new, not new, it's come to an end. Members were able to go out on their own and raise probably $50,000 to hire an internet trust attorney. We have the Fellowship Intellectual Property Trust, and it's this attorney's sole purpose and job to destroy trust. Okay. And they raised on their own $50,000 to pay this guy to go to the California circuit courts to sue and ultimately dissolve our trust. So what's happened as a result of that is, and this is not an FIPT workshop. Like I said, I think I was a part of that work group. So like it's in my DNA, and I really have to struggle because I can go like, we can go PhD level on this shit, right? But the instrument and the operational rules of the trust have very specific processes to dissolve it and to replace trustors. Okay, it's very clear on who trustees are, who trustors are, and who the beneficiaries are. It's very specifically defined who those roles are, right? The petitioner to sue to dissolve the trust was a region that is not recognized or an acknowledged trustor of the trust. And so the judge not only dismissed the case, he dismissed the case with specific language that says this cannot be challenged, which is unheard of. Like, it was so far off the scale of reality that it couldn't even be challenge, right? So what did they do? They raised more money to pay the attorney, not to challenge the decision, but to challenge the judge in their decision. And that's where we're at. We're pretty sure it, but again, think of all the World Service Office had to spend $60,000 on our attorney to defend this frivolous lawsuit. That's $60,000 that did not go towards projects, that did not go towards anything else, right? We ask, if we go back, I closed it, but if you go back on the PowerPoint and you saw all those projects, right? Okay. Here's one, my favorite right now, right? This was supposed to be 10 minutes. A few people have left, I'm really surprised, but IP for Women in Recovery. That's my, I am so excited for that, right? I had the opportunity 2 years ago, the Northeast Zonal Forum on Zoom. We had I think 15 regional motions, right? We had 15 regional motions. On Zoom, they were allowed to present the maker of each of those motions. Guess who presented the motion to create women in recovery IP literature? A woman from Iran.
I remember that.
We were able to hear the intent. People were able to challenge her and say, is this just an issue for women in Arabic countries? Or is this going to be a piece of literature that is inclusive to all women in recovery? Without hesitation, she said, inclusive to all women in recovery. And it was one of the few pieces of literature that when we voted, got overwhelming approval. Nothing has been done on this project. If World Service provides the services that we ask it to, We ask for an IP on women in literature. We ask for DRT MAT, literature on DRT MAT. And when we ask for these things, we better be ready to pay up for them. And how better way to be a part of paying up for that than individual contributions? Imagine, I keep saying I'm going to shut up, because you want to get done. You want to shut this up. Pandemic hits. There's this other fellowship called Alcoholics Anonymous. Not sure if you heard of it. The Anthony, who's the executive director for World Service, reaches out to his counterpart in AA. How are you guys doing, right? How are you hanging in there, right? They're looking at layoffs. We're looking at laying people off, shutting things down, right? The executive director for AA said, "We're doing pretty well." Remember I said our fellowship individual contributions is 7%. In AA, 75% of their budget comes from individual contributions. Well, we came up to 25. But imagine where we'd be today with what we would be able to provide the fellowship if groups and individuals stepped up. It's really easy. You go to NA, contribute, you and it's done. Never see it again, never have to worry about it again. So
before you guys, while we're on budget, what is the actual motion again?
It's starting on page 17 of the car, starts with understanding the proposed budget for
22-23.
And it goes through quite a bit of details. There you go. You can see operational costs, literature production and distribution is 40%, 47%. World Service Conference is 22%. Fellowship development is 26%, and events is 5%. So that's our expenses. There's details there, overhead. And then there is the scale for free and subsidized literature that we have. I'm not an accountant guy, and this is again a breakdown of the costs, literature production and distribution. I'm trying to think. There it is. So this is the budget proposal. This is what's coming in. Proposed. This is the, and then here's the expenses. So this is the income spreadsheet, and this is the expense spreadsheet. Budget versus actuals. Actuals that are spread over 2019, 2020, 2020, 22, and then proposed. So it's very detailed, and if anyone has a specific question about a cell, like why that number says that in the cell, I'll be able to get the answer to that specific question.
Okay.
But I don't really focus a lot on the budget as far as income and expenses, because since the pandemic, it's like holding on to sand. It is so elusive that we don't know. Our literature sales are nowhere the way they used to be. They've taken their expenses down as low as they can take them, and it's impossible. If anybody has been in, has dealt with comptrollers and organizations and companies that have had to go through this pandemic, trying to understand an accurate or predict an accurate income and expenses during the pandemic is just an impossible effort to take. Right. And we just don't know. But the numbers are all there if anybody has any concerns with the numbers. And all we are doing is approving the income, expenditures, and the proposed budget going to 23. And I have not, I count on a lot from my other peers, other delegates, that if something was out of whack here, like we had a delegate that during the conference, he had his own spreadsheet and he was doing the calculations himself, right? And he found a couple of mistakes, like there was something wrong in a cell, and that was, you know, oh, it's because of the accounting system, and you know, all this, which just feeds into the conspiracy freaks way over the top. But I haven't heard of, or I haven't seen, and I haven't heard of any major concerns with the proposed budget going to 23. I'm so sorry. All right. So I'm going to go pick up somebody and then come back. So I'll be back there tonight. If you see me, if you have any questions, if you want me to come to your area, I don't know about home group. We've got like 150 home groups in Alabama, Northwest Florida. I don't think I can visit everyone. But if you're virtual, I might be able to do that. So. All right, any questions? Yes.
This is my second workshop. The first one we took back questionnaire. I can't remember how we got a hold of that.
So if you go on na.org, you go to the conference, it's right here, actually. Next page. Page 34. It'll look like that.
I can't see it. It's all right.
May.org. Page 34 has the tally sheet. Question?
Yes. I'm a part of what they call a renegade group. We're in a small group.
I remember you. You remember me? You remember me?
No, I'm familiar with Air Group, but I don't remember you. I'm Donna Jones.
Yeah, from Region, years ago.
Yes.
Yeah. I, from Jasper.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That's when we had a Northwest Alabama Region, yeah. And it is now, it's disbanded.
So, got to end. Get with me after the meeting. The region is going to be creating what's called the Nomad Region. Nomad Area.
Oh, really?
A Nomad Area will be where groups who are isolated can register with an area and be found in a meeting schedule.
We need that.
Okay. So that's a midterm. The short term too is you can join Madison County area. That's my area, Madison County. It's a virtual area. All groups are welcome to join. You show up in the Madison County area business meeting, you're an immediate member with a full vote. So I'm just saying that you have a connection.
I don't live where I have internet.
Right. Well,
I have no broadband where I live.
Hopefully someone in your group does, and then that way your group will be connected. So thank you. I didn't think it was. I thought it was going to be 10 minutes. All right. I'll get with you, Don.